First John chapter 2, and we're going to read from verses 18 to 27. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise, that he has promised us eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Amen. May God bless us the reading of his word. Well, I wonder how well you know your Monet paintings or your Picasso or your Salvador Dali. I certainly don't, but Prince Charles found himself at the center of a $136 million fake art scandal. The British royal, who is a former trustee of the London National Gallery, who grew up surrounded with famous paintings, was duped. He was lent 17 famous works of art, and when it was later found out that they were painted by a convicted forger, an art historian said, "I want to make very clear that while the painting and the technique were quite good, there is no way that these paintings could pass even the lightest scrutiny. The canvases are new. Paint is modern. The stretcher bars on the canvas are not correct or period." It can be easy to be deceived, especially with counterfeits. Counterfeits do not only happen in the art world, they also occur in the church. And in our passage, the Apostle John is concerned about the impact of counterfeit teachers who are dividing the church. He reassures his readers that they are believers and that these teachers are false. And he sets out another test to show the readers that they are genuine. And we've looked already from John's letter of his obedience test, where believers are those who seek to obey God's law. And we've looked at the love test, where believers are those who seek to love God and to love each other. Well, today it's the belief test, where believers are those who believe in the truth of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, John says he's not writing because they do not know the truth. No, he knows that they have the truth. And so he wants them to identify the lies of these false teachers. So I want you to notice that as a Christian, you know the truth of Christ, and so abide in him. But beware the false teacher. So firstly, you can identify false teachers by the fact that they do not stay in the church, verses 18 to 19. John tells his readers that it is the last hour. The last hour, or the last days, describes the time from Christ's first coming to his second coming. So we are all living in these last days. Christ's kingdom is advancing. The evil of darkness is being removed. But evil will not give up quietly. We are to expect resilience. We are to expect kickback. They say the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Satan was defeated on the cross, but He has not been removed. He's like a wounded animal. He is desperate. He's dangerous. And one of his final attacks will be him coming incarnate as the Antichrist, also known as the man of lawlessness. He will rise up and many will follow him as an alternative to Christ. And we are to expect before Christ comes that the Antichrist will rise up and there will be a final battle that is described in Revelation as Armageddon. But this battle is over before it has even started. Glenn Scrivener describes it as a menacing build-up followed by a complete non-event of a conclusion. It's as if it's like a boxing match. There would be a year of weigh-ins. There'd be press conferences. There'd be trash talk. And then when it came to it, the good guys would win in a heartbeat. First round, first minute. But before the Antichrist comes, John says there will be many Antichrists before this ultimate one. There will be precursors. And so when we hear the term Antichrist, we often view this term through Hollywood portrayals and horror movies. Even the term Antichrist we're uncomfortable with its use. It's like in Harry Potter, the enemy is Lord Voldemort. He's known as he who must not be named. That's not what John is going for here. An Antichrist is not someone who dresses in black, who has flaming eyes, who's able to cast spells. Someone that we would only expect to meet down a dark alley. No, an Antichrist is someone who's opposed to Christ. He is instead of Christ. He is an alternative. And so John says in these last days, there will be those who oppose Christ and his teachings. Well, where are these Antichrists found? Is it in the headquarters of the European Union? Is it in a rebuilt Babylon? No. We are to find them here in the church. They are identified as teachers, but they are false teachers, and Satan is working through them. They've clearly defected from the church. So there's been a split, and these false teachers have separated off from the church, which is based on the teachings of the apostles. And so by coming out of the church, they prove they are not believers. If they are not part of the body of church, which Christ is the head of, well, then they have separated from Christ. And this shows that they never truly belonged. If they were Christian, they would have stayed. But they have departed from the fundamental truths of Christianity. And so by leaving, they show their true colors. The church is described as invisible and visible. Visible is a group of people we see who say they are Christians, who are at church every Sunday, and their names are on the membership list. Invisible are those who are truly Christians. Only God truly knows. It can be hard for us to tell the difference, as evident in Jesus' parable on the wheat and the tares. An enemy comes into the farmer's field and sows weeds in amongst the wheat. And the servants ask, "What do we do?" And the master said, "Let both grow together. At the harvest, they will be separated." And we see this with Judas Iscariot. He was one of the 12. He followed Christ. He witnessed many miracles and heard Jesus' teachings. He himself would have performed miracles. He himself would have preached about the coming of the kingdom. When Jesus said one of them would betray him, no one guessed it would be Judas. And yet his true colors were revealed. When an opportunity came, he departed from the 12. He betrayed Jesus for money. And in the end, he separated himself forever from God. And it's true of every cult. The founder of a cult is someone who came out of the church. They grew disgruntled. They then said, "Everyone in the church has got it wrong, that they themselves only know the truth." So let's be clear, it's not moving from one church to another. It's not moving from one denomination to another. Instead, it's coming out of the church completely to set up your own church. Joseph Smith is an obvious example. He said that he was visited by an angel from heaven named Moroni, who dropped down golden tablets of new scripture called the Book of Mormon. Smith had been a member of a local church, but decided The church was corrupt, and he thought God had wanted to begin a new church and had, of course, chosen him to begin it. And he thought, and so Smith founded Mormonism, or as they prefer to be known now, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Now, this is an extreme example. There are many who simply cannot find a church, and so they set up their own church. They take their children out of the church, and so they do their own thing. And it's not because they don't have options. I remember living in West Ireland for a year, and in that part of Ireland, there are very few evangelical churches, and churches that are there are mainly Pentecostal churches. During that year, I made a good friend from one of these Pentecostal churches. Now, we might have differed a lot theologically, but we could still enjoy fellowship because Christ is our Savior. So those who separate off and do their own thing because they say they can't find the perfect church reveal something matters to them more than even Jesus Christ. So you are living in last days. You should not be surprised by an increase in false teachers. Well, secondly, notice in verses 20 to 21, you know you are a child of God because the Holy Spirit convinces you of the truth. Why is John so confident about his readers being believers? Why is it that he's so assured that they will hold on to the truth? Well, he describes the children of God as being anointed by the Holy One. And this is a description of the Holy Spirit residing in every believer. 2 Corinthians mentions in chapter 1, verse 21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. As believers, they have been anointed by God. God the Father sends the Holy Spirit at the request of Jesus Christ the Son. And so in having the Holy Spirit in your life, you likewise know all things. Now, when it describes all things, it doesn't mean that you have knowledge of every subject under the sun. No, but you know the truth. You can distinguish the errors of these false teachers. The Holy Spirit enables an intuition where you know when something doesn't sound right. That often happens. You hear something, you think, that's just not right. Maybe you can't articulate it, but you aren't convinced. And so you can identify lies from the truth. In the days of wicked King Ahab of Israel, he and the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, consulted with 400 men who said they were prophets. And these men said that the two kingdoms should form an alliance against Syria. Well, Jehoshaphat, a godly king, remained suspicious that this was not right. And so he asked, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here in Israel that we may inquire of him? The Spirit of God enabled Jehoshaphat to love the truth, to spot error. He was not satisfied unless he heard from God. Well, these false teachers, these antichrists, are trying to deceive, but they can't deceive the children of God. They can cause us great turmoil, but it won't be permanent. Often what the devil likes to do through his false teachers is use the Bible, but use the Bible in his own way. He takes snippets from the Bible. He takes the Bible out of context. We see that with the temptations that Christ faced in the wilderness. Satan misquotes the Bible. Even the temptation that Eve faced, he made Eve doubt God's word. And so false teachers use Bible language. They are subtle. Even the Book of Mormon, if you look at it, it lifts large sections out of the Bible. And so as believers, you know the whole truth. You can distinguish errors. You know God doesn't lie. And that's because the Holy Spirit enables you to recognize the truth. Well, thirdly, let's consider, you can identify a false teacher because they deny Christ. And in doing so, they deny God the Father. False teachers always attack Christ. They either attack his nature, his humanity, his divinity, or they attack his work of salvation. And John points out how these false teachers are attacking Christ. They most likely believed that Jesus was simply a man, and then at the time of his baptism, the Spirit of God came upon him, and then before his death, the Spirit of God departed. And so they didn't believe that Jesus was the God-man, both God and man. They denied the incarnation, and they therefore undermined it, redemption. For no sinful human could be our substitute. Only God can do that. And that's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." How often do you hear people say, "Sure, we all worship the same God. You have Jesus, but I have another way to God." But you can't choose God and reject Jesus. God has revealed himself through his Son. If you deny the Son, you are denying the Father. And that's why John says in verse 23, "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either." John saw this in black and white terms. He is not afraid to use strong language. And so he calls those who deny Christ as liars. Hamilton, in his commentary, says John's language is severe because the issues at stake are momentous. These men were denying the real Jesus and were promoting teaching that would imperil the salvation of sinners. There is no option of believing God the Father and not believing in Jesus Christ as God the Son. And so in denying Christ, they're also denying God the Father. That's an easy test for false teaching. Ask them who Jesus is. The cults don't recognize Jesus as God the Son. Mormonism, they see Jesus as a spirit child of God the Father, in the same way that we are spirit children of God the Father. Also, Satan is a spirit child of God the Father. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was created by Jehovah as the Archangel Michael before the physical world existed, that he's not equal to God the Father. He is a lesser God. So John rightly says, these false teachers are liars. But we rarely use that type of language. We live in a time when instead of calling out falsehoods of the cults and other false religions, there is tolerance. There's peace. We come together on what we agree on and we ignore what we disagree upon. Even here in Bloomington, I've heard some of the pastors wanting a common religious voice to speak out that would represent all religions here in the city. But at what cost? The truth, the deity of Christ, his identity as God's Messiah. And so we see groups like Mormons who are not Christian wanting to be recognized as Christian. So we need to call this out, for they do not know God. So false teachers are easy to recognize because they deny Christ. Well, fourthly, you're to safeguard against heresy by knowing the truth, verses 24 to 25. These last days we are in a battle. Like any battle, we need to be prepared. We need to wear our armor. We need to wear our bulletproof vest. In World War I, there was a 17-year-old soldier who survived a German bullet because his Bible was in his uniform breast pocket. The bullet went through the Bible, became embedded 50 pages from going all the way through. The Word of God saved this young soldier from his enemy's attack on him. Well, I'm not saying that we need to carry our Bible over our hearts everywhere, but John is saying we need to know our Bibles. For the truth his readers had is from the beginning, is the Word of God, which is also what the apostles are teaching. 2 Timothy 3 says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known of the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the truth that you are to abide in. Abide means to remember, to remain in. This original message that they know, that has not changed, nor will it change. So it should control your thinking. This is the message that you are to hold on to. And we need to be careful because this message is constantly being contradicted. Even this past week on CNN, there was a discussion about the shortcomings of the founding fathers. And Don Lemon said, "Here's the thing, Jesus Christ, that's who you believe in. Jesus Christ, admittedly, was not perfect when he was here on this earth." Sadly, people want to hear this, even if it's not true. But this is contrary to the teaching of God's word. And so a believer needs to beware of itching ears. He shouldn't be running after new teachers, listening to anyone with new ideas. We live in a society that loves to ask questions, but never listens to the answers. Always searching, but never wanting to arrive at a destination. John Stott says, "Christian theology is anchored not only to certain historical events, culminating in the saving career of Jesus, but to the authoritative apostolic witness to an interpretation of these events." We have the Word of God, and so we must know God's Word. And the result is, you abide in the Son and the Father, and you therefore enjoy the promise of eternal life, verse 25. No new teaching will provide this security. God's Word is a safeguard against this false teaching, and so you must know God's Word. Well, finally, notice, you are safeguarded against heresy by the Holy Spirit abiding in you, verses 26 to 27. These verses, John is concluding the section regarding these antichrists who are trying to deceive his readers. And he reminds them again of their anointing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in their lives. He is abiding in them. He is our guarantee. Now, we live in a neighborhood where there are lots of, we have a neighborhood page on Facebook, and there's frequently mentioned on this page, lost pets. And pets with tags on them, they're easily returned to their owners. Well, as a Christian, we have a seal on us. We are marked by the Holy Spirit. We can't get lost. We are secure. The Holy Spirit abides in you. And so that he is transforming you. He's making you more into the likeness of Christ. And when you buy a new home, you have to sign lots of paperwork. And once everything is signed, you are the new homeowner. But often, that home, that house, doesn't feel like your home. It's not until you put your mark on it, you redecorate it, you put your furniture inside it, then it's yours. Legally, it is yours, but it takes time until it feels like yours. Well, likewise, the Holy Spirit is putting his mark on you as believers. He's changing you so that you are more dependent on him to enable this change. And because you have the Holy Spirit, you do not need teachers. Well, that's great. Maybe you're thinking, what am I doing here today? It's not that you ever need teachers. Jesus appointed teachers in the church. John himself has written this letter full of teaching. And he's not invalidating his own letter. But it's the fact that you don't need teachers to remain in Christ. You don't need teachers to be a Christian. You belong to Christ because the Holy Spirit abides in you. Not because your pastor abides in you. These false teachers created a dependency where you need them. You need their false teaching. You need them to make decisions for you. Often in the cults, they discourage education. They discourage questions and the ability to think. They want to do the thinking for you. And so the followers are dependent on them. For as Christians, you have the Holy Spirit to confirm the truth. You have exactly what you need. Ian Hamilton says, because of the new covenant ministry of the Holy Spirit, believers share in the prophetic anointing of the risen Savior. they're not dependent on a human mediator for the knowledge of God. And so we need to be careful not to misunderstand this verse and think, as long as I have the Holy Spirit, I don't need God's word. I don't need church. I am secure. No, you need both of these safeguards, God's word and the Holy Spirit. Boy says both word and spirit are necessary. Without the spirit, knowledge of the word becomes but a bitter orthodoxy. Without the word, the experience of the spirit can lead to the most unjustified and damage of excesses. The only safeguard against either, and therefore the only defense against heresy, is to have abiding within us both the word from which we learn and the Holy Spirit who teaches it to us. And John Stott says the only safeguard against lies is to have remaining within us both the word that we have heard from the beginning and the anointing that we receive from him. It's by these old possessions, not by new teachings or teachers, that we shall remain in the truth. You are secure. The Holy Spirit abides in you, and since you have the knowledge of God's word. But you must never become presumptuous. You need humility for the Holy Spirit who enables you. He's the one who helps you understand the truth of God's word. For though you are secure, you are still responsible. So do not be deceived. Frequently we read of warnings in scriptures of false teachers. You are to heed these warnings by weighing up what you hear, what you read against God's word. We're living in the last days. We are in the last hour. And certainly with the internet, we see a greater prevalence of false teaching made available to us. You need to be careful, especially online when the cults seem to dominate. If you type in a religious question, it's them that seem to be on top of all the search results. So do not be deceived by false teaching. As a Christian, you know the truth of Christ, and so abide in him and beware the false teacher. One famous false teacher is surely Jim Jones, and I hadn't realized until this past week that he originally came from Indiana and studied here at IU. He was interested in communism, and Jones said that he asked himself, how can I demonstrate my Marxism? And the answer, infiltrate the church. And he was soon asked to be a student pastor at a Methodist church. He witnessed faith healings and saw how that attracted people and attracted money. And he thought, well, that could help accomplish my social goals with financial resources from such services. And that would be the start of his ministry. And the end of his ministry was when he eventually persuaded 800 people to move with him to Guyana in South America to establish a socialist paradise, which he named Jonestown after himself. He then began to teach a new belief that he called translation, where he and his followers all die together and then move to another planet and live blissfully. And in the end, 800 people plus their children died, committing suicide under his leadership. He was a false prophet. It should have been more than obvious. And sadly, there are still many Jim Jones today. And so remember, as a Christian, you know the truth of Christ. Abide in him and beware the false teacher. Amen. Let's come to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you as believers, the blessings that we enjoy. We thank you for your Holy Spirit inside us, inside your people, helping us to recognize the truth, to identify lies. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that we have it readily available to us. And so, Lord, help us to know your word, to know your word better. Help us to recognize those who are liars, false teachers, that we wouldn't be deceived by them, but instead that we would remain humbly trusting in you and not distracted by false teaching. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close our service singing from Psalm 25a. The psalmist here wants to follow in God's way. He wants to learn the truth of God's word. He recognizes that God has rescued him in his tender mercy. And likewise, that should be your goal. Know the truth of God's word to stay on the right path. Let's praise God, asking him to remember us in his love. Let's stand and praise God.